So today's message is entitled, It's Just Not Fair. 30th of April, last Sunday, the fifth Sunday in April 2023. I'm going to start with a very short reading from Luke 21, verses 1 to 4. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich people putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Now, do you ever read this scripture and feel sorry for that poor widow? It's a sad picture, isn't it? It can make you feel sorry for people who have so little, yet they freely give away what little they have. It's a real challenge to the human condition, isn't it? You'd think that maybe the more that you have, the more likely you would give things away, wouldn't you? That's the logic in that. I can't tithe because I haven't got enough money to tithe. Things like that. But a generous spirit is not always associated with rich people. At least those who are just rich in the eyes of this world, they tend to know how to keep hold of it. And yet people in third world countries, and we've experienced this in southern Italy, and what they have, they are just so happy to share. There is a lot of unfairness in this world, isn't there? I think back to a little humorous story my parents used to tell me when I was young. It was about my big sister and my big brother. My sister's 7 years older than me, and my brother is 9 years older than me, Jerry's age. But then, in those days, when my sister was very young and she was barely able to speak properly, she was heard to complain to my father that the elder brother had something that she clearly wanted. And this is how this little story went. This is what she was heard to say. My brother's name is Nicholas, right? And she's called Dorothy. Nicky got one amel, got one nothing, me. Nicky got one amel, for hamel, read hammer, because she couldn't say hammer. So Nicky got one amel, got one nothing, me. Isn't that sad? I've never forgotten it. I'm 65 now, and I've never forgotten that little phrase, Nicky got one amel. Yes, Nick was 2 years older than her and probably was becoming interested in what my dad was doing out in the garden and the sheds and things like that, building and cutting and sawing. And somehow he was granted the use of the hammer, so he had a hammer now. But my sister clearly, even at a young age, thought it was unfair that she didn't have a hammer too. It's just not fair. You know, and I'm sure this all started in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve had everything except the very thing that they wanted. It just wasn't fair, was it, that God would deny them that little thing that they really wanted? And if Satan hadn't made a point of subtly drawing their attention to it, well, it might have been left untouched and unnoticed. But because it was highlighted, it became even more attractive. It's just not fair that you shouldn't have it. Life is full of challenges. There is always something happening that seems to be unfair. From Russia marching into Ukraine, how was that fair? And bombing innocent people, how is that fair? To people having to flee Sudan now at the drop of a hat, just because there is fighting between two internal military powers who want power. They want to control. Why is that fair? And then there's been COVID. Why was that fair? If that was man-made and least let out of China or wherever it came from, why was that fair? Energy prices. Why is that fair? Through the roof. Now rampant inflation, collapsing NHS, fewer doctors, fewer dentists, fewer nursing or more nursing and teacher strikes. It just isn't fair, is it? And then there's all the earthquakes. Turkey collapsing in front of your eyes. Why was that fair? And then there's the floods. Cars and houses going down the water. Famines. Crop failure. It's terrible. It's just not fair. Is it? Was it fair that that widow gave away all she had to live on? Should she have had to do that? Well, in reality, she didn't have to put it in. She chose to. She chose to. For whatever her reason and her hope was, she chose to give all that she had. Now, this following scripture also makes you wonder if life is actually fair. It's from Luke 13, verses 1 to 5. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." All those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them and killed them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Now notice that Jesus didn't respond like a lot of people might have done nowadays. He didn't say, "Oh, I know, isn't it terrible? That nasty Pilate. It's just not fair, is it?" Can you imagine Jesus saying that? Or about that tower falling on the 18 people and killing them just like that. He didn't say, "Oops, my father must have forgotten that they were there when the earthquake was triggered." Assuming it was an earthquake that brought that tower down. Life is very difficult and to understand sometimes. When innocent people get murdered, children get sexually assaulted or worse, when horses die at the Grand National, it all sounds and feels so unfair, so wrong. And then there's this other scripture here from Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So why is it fair, I ask you, why is it fair to have a gate that's so small, when it's so important that you go through it? And why is it fair that the majority of people don't find that narrow road? Never mind trying to walk on it. Why is that fair? There's a lot of people saying, "This can't be fair. There must be another way. There must be something that's fairer than having to choose Jesus." So many people in this world, God is unfair. A lot of excuses are, "Well, I don't believe in God. Look at all the bad stuff that happens in the world. How can there possibly be a loving God? And if there is, he's just not fair. How can he allow all these things to happen?" It makes them angry. It makes them frustrated. They have their hearts set on things which ultimately they will never get. Because they want something else. They want something different from what they're getting. And if they do get them, these things that they want to enjoy in this life, then they will lose them in the next. The very thing that you think you want won't give you peace and happiness. I was really impressed with the word for today recently. It was on Friday the 28th of April, and the message was entitled, Change Your Expectations. It really spoke to me. It said, in part, we make a big deal out of everything. Being 5 minutes late, getting stuck in traffic, somebody giving us a wrong look, waiting in a queue, overcooking a meal, gaining a pound on your stomach, discovering a wrinkle on your face, making an honest mistake. You name it, we lose all perspective. The real problem is that we have unrealistic expectations. We have unrealistic expectations. It's true, isn't it? We can get so irritable about things that really shouldn't have that kind of power over us because it has such a damaging effect. This is another bit of that message that made a lot of sense to me. It was advice, basically, and there were 2 points, and the first one was concede, give in to, that your uptightness is largely because of the way you have decided life should be. That's why you get disappointed, because you've decided that it shouldn't be like this. And the second point is, acknowledge that your expectations are causing you much of your frustration. When you keep expecting things to always be a certain way and they're not, you will always be upset. Here is an idea. Try approaching life today without all those expectations. It is what it is. You get what you're given. God's got it all wrapped up. If you set high expectations, whether it be low inflation, high wages, a fantastic NHS, a trouble-free marriage, a pet that doesn't bark or mess up the house, children that always do as you ask, that think like you, they achieve excellent school results and keep their room pristine, I can guarantee you are going to be disappointed. And what's more, you will be on the edge of thinking and, if not saying, it's just not fair. I want something better than this. It's not fair. Why is it not fair? Who says it's not fair? You are. You're saying it's not fair. It shouldn't come as a surprise that life is difficult, and here's why. John 18:36 to 37, Jesus explains it, really. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Not many people listen to Jesus or his words. If they did, there would be far more peace and harmony on this earth. And fewer things to get angry and frustrated about. But as we have read, although he is a king, our king, his kingdom is still somewhere else at the moment. And that means, for now at least, that we have to suffer in his physical absence as a result of sin in the world. And to a point, our lingering sin, even if you're being saved. Ephesians 2:1 to 6 says, as for you, Paul says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, God's wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Wow. In a way, we're already there. We have a seat on the bus, as it were. We have got a place to go to. It's already named with your name on it. Jesus said in John 16, 28 to 33, I came from the Father and I entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. And then Jesus' disciples said, now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. You believe at last, Jesus answered. But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me alone, all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Back to the word for today again. Same message. Don't expect your day to be hassle-free. When trouble comes, look up and say, thank you, Lord. That's difficult, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, for another chance to grow. Go ahead, try it, and see how much better things are. Rather than swimming against the tide, learn to flow with it. Pretty soon, you will find you're enjoying life more. And not just that, other people will enjoy being around you more. Now there's a challenge. Try to not swim against the tide. Go with it. Let God show you the way through it. And I think that bit of advice in Word for Today comes from James 1, 2 to 4, which says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Whether you think it's fair or not. Have you heard of growing pains? When you're young and you're growing and you don't know why you're aching? Well, they shouldn't stop once you're an adult. They go on and on throughout your life if you are a Christian being discipled. It's going to hurt. And many times you're going to say or at least feel that it's just not fair. And you know why? Because discipline hurts. It's not all fun. Sometimes it's going to hurt. One day we will look back on all this and hopefully laugh. I'm sure it will all make sense one day. In the meantime, we need to encourage each other and realize that things never stay the same very long. Things change. Nearly everything wears out and most things break down or cost money to replace or fix. That's the nature of life, subject to sin and decay. Life on earth is not going to change for the better very quickly. but it will change eventually. Here's another example of what might appear to be totally unfair to some people. Luke 13, verse 22. Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. And someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you, or where you come from.'" We need to make sure that he knows us. Does he know you today? Does he know you personally? Did you get introduced to him? Did you open up to him, let him into your heart? Does he recognize you as one of his? Or are you still thinking about it? Jesus was telling them to get to know him well while they have the chance. Because he is that narrow door or gate. Whether that is considered to be fair or not in the world's eyes is totally besides the point. Whether anyone disagrees that Jesus is the only way is immaterial. Fair or not, it does not change what he told us in the slightest. You can moan all you like, but what he said and is still saying is, you've been told now. You have no excuse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the narrow door. I am the narrow way. I am the path. Remember, the disciples said, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And he said, "I've been with you all this time. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Now, the one thing in this world that is absolutely fair is this, and with this I close, and I won't even tell you where it's from because you probably already recognize where it's from. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Even that poor widow. That is absolutely fair. And it's the only thing that is really, really fair and true and free for the asking. That makes everything worthwhile to know that actually there is a way out of this, and it's totally fair for everybody, whether you're rich or poor, young, old, on your deathbed, or you've just been born and you realize, who made all this? Why am I here? Am I going to be answerable to the person, to the one who created this and put me in it? Well, the answer is yes, you are. You are. And you can get to know him because he's a loving God. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given a message for the people, for your people and for those who are not your people. Those who think the world is unfair, that you're unfair. They live in despair and jealousy and they lust over things. Lord, you allow it to happen for a reason, but there is an escape. There is a way out, and you are that way. And you can take us out of this world one day and into your kingdom. And on that, we hang all our hope. In Jesus' name, amen.